something. Oh, 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 yeah, we up to something. Yeah, we up to something. Excuse me, y'all, while I hit my social media posts and stuff. We got the Young Bucks in here right now who just re-signed with AEW for I don't know how many years. I don't know how much money. That's not even important. We just got you for more time, and that's what we need. We can't have all Elite Wrestling without the Elite. It's just a beautiful thing, so congratulations to that. On the day that we're shooting this now, episode 200 of AEW Dynamite airs tonight from Tampa, Florida. Not too far from me, an hour and a half drive from me. Pleasant.
Oh, easy.
It's beautiful. TZ right around the corner is awesome. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for taking the time out to speak with me and my co-host, Montezy.
No problem, right here. Man. Yes, sir. It's a big day, so we're excited to be here.
Awesome. I appreciate the Supreme hat as well. Yeah. Big Supreme guy.
Look at the tank. I got him this for his birthday.
Oh, the tank is fire.
Got me this for my birthday last week.
Really? Oh, happy birthday, by the way. You know, man, is that not making you sweat out here in Tampa? Because the weather
is. You know what? It was probably a bad decision to wear this week.
It looks good, so I had to do it.
How's the humidity out here? It's pretty bad.
Oh, it hits you. Yeah. It hits you.
I got in later last night, so I didn't really feel
it. It hits you harder than blood and guts. Let me tell you that.
You're saying how you were an hour and a half from here?
Yeah, an hour and a half drive from here.
I just came from Maui. I left Monday night on a red eye, and then I got into L.A. I was with my family. Yeah. I was like, all right, see you guys later. I had to change terminals, and I went on a direct here to Tampa. So it was back-to-back, like, six-hour flights.
Oh.
And it was all because my flight got canceled 2 days prior to that. And then, thank you, Hawaiian Airlines, by the way. They're like, your flight is canceled, and we can probably get you home, like, in a week. We're like, excuse me?
What?
Yeah, so I just had to find a different airline. But we ended up having to stay in Hawaii, of all places, for 2 days. But, I can't complain about that. But
right. Jeez. Could have been worse.
But so I had to come straight here.
Yeah.
There. So I didn't even get to go home. Nick had to bring your...
I did, yeah.
I had my girls with me for the week, for the summer, but it was brutal getting here from Philly because especially all three of us traveling together.
That's stressful.
Oh,
it's stressful.
But like, I'm blessed to have like really calm children. They're just like, okay, what are we doing now? All right, cool. There wasn't crying, wasn't a mess or anything like that. But like, flights got canceled in Philly. Had to stay in the airport hotel.
Fly out
the next morning. Connect in Chicago, come down Orlando. Oh, we're running out of fuel, guys, weather and thunderstorms.
It's been bad lately.
Yeah.
The entire Canada loop, the 3 weeks back.
Yeah.
I think every trip we had, a flight got canceled or delayed.
Severely.
And we had to stay overnight. It was insane.
It was the worst of all time, for us that month.
Were y'all getting weather issues? Because
I don't know what it was.
Weather, plane, you name it.
Yeah, because coming into Florida, we always have the hurricanes and the lightning. So we have to, we had to stop in Fort Lauderdale, and then we just, let's just get us off the plane. Right. My daughter's crying. She wants to get out of here. Right. Let's get a rental car and just drive 3 hours up to Orlando.
Right.
We made it, but, man.
Good.
It's been brutal lately with this travel.
It really has, man. I don't know what it is.
I commend you guys from coming from California every week because we do a lot of East Coast shows with AEW. Right.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think anybody in wrestling has more miles than us because we go every week, west, east, and back. And we've been doing it for
like 10 years now, right?
At least 15, probably, right? Like, we've been wrestling about 18, 19 years, but on this schedule, 15 years at least.
Yeah, probably.
And a lot of that time we spent in Japan, so it's like, God, we got a lot of miles. People look at us sometimes and they go, what? How do you have this many miles? You're only in your 30s or whatever. And we're like, and we explain something. Like, I'm a flight attendant. I've been a flight attendant for 25 years. I don't have as many miles as you do.
No.
People are blown away by that. Yeah.
Because they don't understand that the wrestling grind is something brutal. Because remember the weekends, we were doing three shows a weekend at that time.
Yeah.
And having to go West Coast and then bounce from here to do this show in the Chicago, then going back here to the East, then return home to the West Coast for you guys, that adds up in just a weekend.
Yes.
And then then the Japan tours, add those in.
Oh my goodness.
And you guys didn't do UK too much. You just didn't.
The end of our 2018, 2017, I want to say. It was it was a lot of UK stuff.
Japan, we've done almost 100 tours, so not even close to that.
Yeah, Japan, we spent a lifetime in Japan.
Yeah. How often were you over there just staying over there?
Jeez.
Rather than bouncing forth, back and forth.
The last few years that we had started doing tours, it was only one match, and then we would go back. So it got a little easier, but we were there more frequent. We would do two tours a month. The end of it.
Right. We started in 2013 with New Japan. We were there. We would do 21 days there.
Yeah, the long one.
And then we
yeah.
would come home for 10 days, and we do another 21 days. Yeah. Come home for 10, 21 days. It was a lot.
I preferred going there for one show and yeah. then getting out, though.
Oh, really?
Okay. The culture shock for me, like,
yeah,
I'm not a big seafood guy, so I struggled so much.
A lot of fish.
Yeah. So I struggled so much with the food.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would eat, like, when we would first tour,
oh my gosh,
2008,
yes,
I would only eat McDonald's, so I would get fat.
Well, and we were broke.
I'd be eating McDonald's every night.
I was just telling my kids about this because I love teaching them perspective and like because like listen, kids, you're spoiled. We haven't really we get to eat nice food. I said, you know, back in 2008, Daddy was poor, and I would come to Dragon Gate in Japan, and we were only making $100 a match.
Yeah,
and so Nick and I we were on a $10 a day limit. For food,
right?
Yep. So we would go to McDonald's partially because he's allergic to seafood and he hates
it. Oh, you know what? And we would go to the 99 yen store.
Yes.
Oh, I've heard about those.
Yeah.
We would get a loaf of bread, PB&J, just make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches just because we didn't have any money. But we would walk over. We were stationed in Kobe and we would find the local McDonald's, which was at the time was pretty far. I remember it would be a good
probably
walk.
A couple of mile walk.
And we would go and load up on like 5 cheeseburgers a piece. We would eat a couple. We put the rest in the fridge for dinner just because we had no money. And we were on a $10 a day, you know, limit. And, but the $10, like it would go fast. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. But to us, we were like, we have to do this. Otherwise we're not making money out here.
Yeah. Especially like, that Dragon Gate style was just like, brutal. Oh my God. It was like high impact speed. So much demanding on your body.
Yes. We didn't even realize it. Like we would do the pay-per-view. We'd be like, all right, we know we have to go balls out. But then we would do this house show in front of 100 people, and Shima's asking us to do the same stuff we did on the pay-per-view on the house show. We're like, what? That's what you guys do?
We're like, excuse me? Dragon Kid's like, I'd like to give you top rope runner. We're like, there's 150 people here.
Why?
And we would do it. But
when we saw them do it, we're like, all right, it encouraged us to do it. And I think that we got that mindset of going crazy every night from those early days in Dragon Gate, which it helped pioneer our style, though, so I can't complain now. But you know, looking back,
the other thing about discipline in Japan with Dragon Gate is we would set the rings up.
Yep.
And not just the rings, but like everything. Set the chairs up around the ring. Mm-hmm. Help out with anything and everything. We'd and then after them and do the flyers. Yep. After the matches, we would tear it all down and put it in a bus and do it again. And I remember there'd be tours for 30 days. We would do 24 matches or something crazy. Right. So that's where like we became very disciplined with the grind. We were like, okay.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, it teaches you good work ethic.
Exactly. Oh, and then also hustle merchandise because we didn't make any money out there. It was $100 a match, like I said. So like if we were going to make any money, we were going to sell photographs or
that was t-shirts. Your meal.
Right. That was our meal.
That was your meal.
So we were out there.
Extracurricular stuff. It was through that merchandise.
Yeah. I remember we had these little photos. They weren't even 8x10s. They were like, 3x5s or something, and I got them printed at Costco, and I would yell out, Sanbyakuen, 300 yen, and people would come up, that's it, $3, they just hand us their coin, yes, please,
like, five, get one free,
Nick and I would sign them, and we were just like, we have to get rid of this whole stack today,
but
you know?
We would be happy, because then we, at the end of the night, we'd be like, oh my God, we made more money off of merch than we did actually wrestling, that's crazy,
and then that's what it became like in the States, we're like, listen, we know we're not worth much more than a flight, right? Like, we're coming from the West Coast, so, like, we have to sell merchandise if we're going to make any more any money. Yeah.
That is, it's crazy how much that grind and that work ethic turned into, like, the elite. Yeah. It was kind of like the Young Buck, the elite. Like, it was a staple for you guys.
Right.
Like, the shirts.
Right.
The shirt sales. And, like, that became, like, such a trend in, like, the early,
it became the culture of independent wrestling.
Of independent wrestling. Like, PWG, you hang the shirts on the
I kind of miss it.
You miss it a little bit?
A little bit.
Did you guys know how you was innovating at that time? Did you guys, like, have foresight of what you guys were actually doing, which, like, leads to the industry now?
Right.
Well, we took that blueprint from Colt Cabana, you know what I mean? Like he was the guy. Him and like El Generico, I like to say, like we would see them sell merchandise like crazy at these Chikara events.
Yeah.
And it inspired us and a lot to do with going to Dragon Gate like we were explaining earlier, but who else was there that would like we would see them.
Chris Hero was a big one too.
Oh yeah. The way
Colt was the man though.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, if we're ever going to get really good at this, we have to learn from him, right? Yeah. And so I remember literally going to like cultmerch.com and just looking at how he laid everything out, right, how he did his business. And then I got with my wife, who's really good at that stuff, and she helped build our website. And I'm like, just do what he's doing.
Do that. It was his blueprint.
And of course, we expanded upon that. But like, he was definitely what inspired us. Because he would tell us, like, guys, like, you've only got one shirt design. You only have one photo. Yeah. This is pathetic. Embarrassing.
I would never. What I thought was cutting edge at the time, when like y'all would innovate a move, something happened, it went viral, it went like Twitter, social media, YouTube, whatever, it just made a circuit. The shirt would be made.
Instantly.
The move. Smart.
I was like, oh Jesus. My God, this is crazy. Yeah.
You got to make money on it right away.
You got to capitalize. Yeah.
It's almost like the meme culture, right? Like,
yes.
Something quick, right? What's your response? What's your take on it? Go.
Yeah.
And then we would have it on a t-shirt. And that was like, I think we were the first ones to do that thing.
Yes.
Because I think Colt was the guy who brought merch to indie wrestling. We just helped kind of make it a little bit bigger. And then with pro wrestling tees, which that also helped, Colt helped, you know, with. It was pretty much his brainchild. Like, we basically said, all right, like, pro wrestling tees is going to be what helps us engineer this whole thing and put it together and make things come out quicker.
That
like
website
you said,
made it so different though, because back in the day it would be like, all right, let's figure out what shirt is good and I guess print it. And then we would have a shirt that didn't sell, and we had 100 of those t-shirts
stuck in my closet.
Right.
And you would think it was like, this is a good shirt. You liked it. You personally liked it, but like, why is this not moving?
Exactly.
Pro Wrestling Tees helped us be able to take a gamble on something, because we're like, well, if it doesn't sell, there's no inventory. Who cares?
Right.
So we just print anything.
Yeah.
Anything and everything.
Yep.
That's
true.
So we actually, once again, congratulations to you guys.
Thank you.
Once again, on everything from All Elite, everything you guys have done. From the years to now, you guys are now, once again, re-signed with AEW. You guys read up. Now, the question I have is, because we're brothers. You know, we're brothers with different mothers, but we're brothers. You guys are actual brothers. We're actual brothers, just, you know, different mothers. Question that I have for you guys is, what keeps you guys together after all these years? You see, you know, the bands break up. You know, the lead guitarist and the lead singer breaks up in the band. Or this happens. Once again, I'm fascinated with watching those kind of things. But what keeps you guys together after all these years to say, you know what, we're going to stick together, we're going to stay a family, and we're going to take over the business? What keeps you guys together now after all you guys accomplished?
It's a great question. Man, how do you even answer that? Like, it's different because you don't see it often.
Right.
That's why we're asking. We want to know.
Right.
Why have you guys broken up yet, for God's sakes?
We want this to go another 10 years. Right.
Yes. We try to get to the gray hairs with this. Yeah.
Honestly, man, we've never really had inspiration of being singles wrestlers. Right. Mm. So I think that is a big like thing for it. We always inspired to be a tag team. And we saw the Hardys do it most of their career. And we were like, oh, we can maybe do a career with each other. And it honestly, it makes it so much easier traveling with him. And I don't want to do a show without him. Yeah, I don't want to get on a plane by myself.
What was the last
time?
What was the last show you had to?
When
you
both had it's to, been like, a minute.
Go to a show and then he's not there or vice versa.
Not often. Like if we've got a family thing or it's never like pre-planned. Like, all right, you're doing a singles next week because I'm taking it off. Like it's almost like, hey, Nick, I got to stay home because my kid's sick. And he's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like
off
we would rather
head,
not happen.
I did do a Japan tour without him and was crazy.
I was having a baby.
That was like a 25-day tour. That sucked.
I was a singles guy.
Oh,
I know you felt.
Oh, it was hard.
It was a
Super Juniors tour, I believe.
Yes.
2015.
And man, it was exactly rough.
I think I remember that. I remember that.
It was rough being by myself. But I think after doing that, I knew for sure, all right, I have to be in a tag team because the singles stuff's way too hard.
For me, so when we first started our careers actually as pro wrestlers, we were singles wrestlers, right? In the very, very beginning, like 04, 05. And I think it was just one of those happenstance moments where like promoters booked us as a tag team and it clicked and everybody started wanting us as a tag team. And we were kind of against it at first. We were like, no, I want to wear red and call myself Mr. Enzo Replay. And he wants to wear blue and call himself Slick Nick. We're not the Young Bucks. And it was almost forced upon us. Like, no, you're the Young Bucks. And we started seeing, we were getting more bookings and there's more buzz about us. So it's almost like one of those things where we're like, why are we going against what everybody wants?
Right.
Okay.
And it became to the point where we're like, this is undeniable and there's more marketability in this. There's probably more chances that we're going to succeed because at the time, there weren't that many tag teams really blowing up and doing things. So like, maybe this is our entry into this. Like, maybe this is our way in to get the push that we want. We're not doing this singles wrestler. It ain't happening. Right. Let's try it this way. And it started happening.
It worked.
And we were like, let's stop fighting this. Let's just do it.
And we haven't separated since. But.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and hopefully we won't because, like, I feel like every team has ever, right?
Yeah.
Will we be the first ever to do a full career?
But you know what?
Maybe one of them.
I would like to do a singles match at some point, like on Dynamite with him. I think it'd be fun to do.
Yeah.
I think fans would like that. But we don't need a feud. It just a random singles match at some point.
You always have that in the back pocket because that's something like once again, 200 episodes, 4 years about to be with AEW Dynamite. That's still something they haven't seen. There's still so much.
Yeah, yeah.
In the like,
yeah, just, we could do it.
Yeah, it's just there.
I wouldn't want to feud with him, though.
No.
Let's just have fun one night only. And I don't know how that would work, but maybe in a tournament setting.
Yeah, I remember we had a singles in TNA when we were Generation Me.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And we had like a short feud that Vince Russo really wanted us to do. And like, you could tell we're not on board because it just didn't really click. Because the whole time we're like, we just want to be a tag team. This sucks.
But you know what? It was a good match.
It was a really good match. But I think that was probably the only time in our career
we did a singles in
Germany.
WXW.
Yeah, and a few on the indies in the early years. Yeah.
Not too many, but
nothing high profile either. Nobody's ever really seen us, you know, mix it up. Like not at an AEW stage or anything.
Right. So going from like the starving in Japan to like hustling the $3 shirts and all that to forming the Elite and building this bond between like not only not just you and Kenny, but bringing in like Hangman Page and stuff like that. Like it's almost like you created a culture, like the YouTube, the blog era, like the social media, and it just took it by storm.
Right.
It's almost like you created a culture within yourselves. And I wouldn't say like, you know, there's criticisms out there. It's like people, I would say, believe in it's a club. But I wouldn't call it a club because if you have like a group of guys that believe in the same hustle, the same grind, the same work ethic, the same passion, and you all believe and have the same like thought process, you kind of want to keep it between yourselves. You don't want to let other people who don't have any disagreements with that in because that breaks up the process of and it doesn't get to an AEW. It doesn't get to an Elite. It doesn't get to this big stage. So talk about like keeping that within your I don't want to say club, but your group, your core.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I think like we just kind of gravitated to people like Kenny Omega. You know what I mean? In a Hangman Page who would come on way later down the line.
Right.
And if you even want to go prior to the Elite, it's really like the Bullet Club, right? Like
correct.
The same style of guys who really didn't take wrestling too seriously. Like, if anything, we all just kind of wanted to do one thing, and that was to have fun. And that was the difference between us and the others. Like, sometimes you're in a locker room, and some of these guys are just so dead serious about pro wrestling to the point where, like it's almost uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we want to have fun, and we want to have a party, and we want everyone in the audience to have a party with us. I mean, if you come and meet us at a meet and greet, you're part of the same party. And we just wanted to create an element of fun. And it was almost like for us, like it was like lightning in a bottle because all of these same characters and these people we were friends with in real life. Like we were in these group chats that went 24/7 and we would go out to dinner afterward. It wasn't like someone booked us to be this group. It was, and that's actually kind of how it happened at first. Right.
Right.
But we've kind of learned along the way, like, God, we're all so in common. This is crazy.
Yeah, we're best friends. Yeah, this is crazy.
Like have you ever been like you just met someone and you're like, I feel like I've known you my whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
that's how it was with Luke Gallows.
Yeah, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Yeah. Like if we're talking about the Bullet awesome. Club stuff. Yeah. And Kenny, we'd known Kenny since 2008. Yeah. So when he naturally joined Bullet Club, we were like, oh, this
perfect fit.
Dude, we've missed you, man. And
what
right
was
in,
the craziest thing about it was we were such marks for the NWO. That's what like inspired us as like teenagers. So we're like, oh my God, we could do the same thing those guys did in WCW, but bring it to New Japan. Let's do it. It was the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And like same colors.
Just realizing it all right now, huh?
I love
it. Same this. It was just everything.
I love there's this discourse online. It's like you know what you're doing, right? We're like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, y'all not in on the joke.
Right.
The
we were, like, we were marking out. Right. And we're the biggest marks. We got into pro wrestling. Right. So we were having fun. We were reliving our teenage years in front of everyone. It was great. So, and we felt like, I'm sorry to cut you off, when we were doing that, we felt like the American audience wasn't seeing what we were doing, having so much fun in Japan.
So, and a lot of times they weren't at first.
So I had the idea of vlogging what we were doing, and that's what Being the Elite became, was let's just vlog what we're doing out here because we're having so much fun. I think it'll translate to the American audience. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it picked up quick, and people enjoyed seeing us have a good time. So,
And that wasn't even supposed to be what it was, right? Like, Being the Elite, at first it was just me, Kenny, and Nick.
It's just going to be a travel vlog.
No, not even. Not before that, I'm saying. Like, we would just create these little six-second vines. Right.
Yes, yeah, I remember that.
And little funny YouTube clips. Yeah. And everything was always like, 6 seconds, like right. on Vine.
Yeah.
Or then we started expanding, and we were like, oh, hey, Twitter video lets you do 52 seconds. Oh, hey, YouTube, it's unlimited. It's like we were just doing sketches. Right. And eventually we were like, Nick came up with the idea. He's like, we should do like a little mini documentary every week.
Yeah.
And Kenny and I were like, oh, that's a
terrible
idea. We were
already doing
the
traveling. I'm like, why not? I have this camera in my pocket that could do it. So let's just do it and try it. And they were totally against it at first. They're like, nah, that's too much work. I was like, I'll just do it. I'll film it. I'll edit it. I knew nothing about any of that crap. I was just going
to
learn
on your own.
Fly. And sure enough, it did well, and I'm happy I did it.
And you still edit it now?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Brandon Culler.
Like, I got tired of it.
That was another thing that Colt told us, because he did the Art of Wrestling. So again, I think BTE's was something, an inspiration from that was the Art of Wrestling. And Colt said,
but even before that, though, we had tried to do this same exact thing back in the day when we were doing Dragon Gate. We were vlogging back then with those big camcorders.
Oh my god. YBTV.
Oh my god.
There's a few episodes on YouTube, actually.
That's another carry-on.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's from 2008.
We actually had tried this before, but it was just too much work, and I think it was before its time.
Yeah.
We weren't popular enough yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody knew who we were.
That's true. You know? And that's another thing about timing. Like, no one when it's time to, like, expose and give a little bit more. It's like, no, we still, like, haven't built up enough to really let it out.
It was perfect timing. It worked well.
And one thing Colt said was, you have to do it every week, though. Because his Art of Wrestling would come out every Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Every single week. So he's like, if you do this, it has to come out every week, and you can't screw around with this.
Yep.
And we didn't. Like, there were the first few years, I want to say 4 or 5 years, we never missed a Monday. Yeah. And actually, at the time, it would even come out sometimes like in the weekend, but it was always out every single week. And it's still to this day, like, we don't really miss weeks. Like, we've been doing this for 7 years.
At this point, I've tried to end it so many times.
Yes.
I get burnt out. Yeah. Just coming up with ideas every week is tough for it.
But it is.
You know what? It's worth it. The fans like it. Man.
I think the fact that we can go back one day and watch these with our kids and be like, Daddy, what were you doing around this? I'm like, let me show you. Just don't watch episodes 1 through 100 where an entire storyline's about a penis. Or, let's watch this stuff where we're just traveling. Some of the stuff's very inappropriate.
Absolutely. So you guys now, you have the YouTube channel. You guys are now becoming innovators. Let's talk about now you're in the stage of, you're the veterans now. You guys have seen it all. You guys have done it all. You guys have been pioneers. Now you're at the stage of giving back, right? When guys come to you for advice or, it could be for anything, not just wrestling related. How do you guys take that leadership role? How do you guys feel about that role as well? People say, hey guys, I need some advice on this, or, what do you guys think about that? One, do they listen? And two, do you guys appreciate that role now as you guys are kind of the OGs in wrestling now?
You know what? It's weird because time just flies. I used to be the 17-year-old in the locker room.
Yeah.
And when the 30-something-year-old was trying to give me advice, I was rolling my eyes. You know what I mean? Like, we've all been there.
But it's crazy to think, like, a 30-year-old is now the veteran.
Yeah.
Because, like, 30, if you go back, like, 2002, that was The Rock coming back.
Isn't that crazy?
From Hollywood.
It's crazy. Now, like, now we're, like, the old guys.
Yeah. It's so wild.
It's kind of heartbreaking. Because time flies by, man. It's like, I do now realize that my time in wrestling is closer to the end than the beginning, and that kind of hits you in a weird way, because the chase was so fun getting there that once you get to the top, it's like, it's not as fun in a weird way. But I don't know that. Maybe I'm just.
No, you're right about that.
He's like, oh, no, no.
But you know, but,
it's just so much difference. I want to say more on your plate. It's just different stuff on your plate.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, you have new problems, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you actually went back to the days of the starving artist, because we all like to think back and be like, oh, it was so great. It was really painful and, and awful and scary. And you never knew when your next meal was coming, right?
Especially as a parent.
But exactly. Oh, but the fact that we overcame all that, it's fun to look back at now. Right. But if I had to go back into a car when I was 21 I was making 30 bucks, I'd be like, this sucks. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I've had days like 3 in the morning car rides back home, breaking down on the side of the road and still had 3 hours left to go.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, okay, how am I going to scrounge this with a chicken wire, this, that? My muffler's over here. How am I going to get this thing up and moving? You know, so.
It was tough, man. And we all love to romanticize.
Yeah, that
is
true.
I remember being, you know, 23, freshly married, and I remember looking out. I'd make coffee every morning. I'd look out and see if they took my truck. Is my truck still here?
Oh, still here?
Okay, good. I remember being on food stamps. I remember all that. Yeah. So it's like, I like to look back now because I overcame those days. But those days were brutal, man. And I'm glad. And at least it gave me perspective. And I would never have done anything differently now that I feel like I have made it. Mm. I'm glad I struggled. I'm glad I had to go through that because now I appreciate what I have. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if that's one thing I could teach the younger guys, like we were talking about, you asked
the
earlier.
The value of a dollar is so important.
And
so important.
Appreciate, be grateful for what we have.
There's a lot of entitled like wrestlers that have came up nowadays. And I think we're part of the blame because we've made it easy for people to sign contracts because we help create an entire company.
But in the same breath, a lot of times as a father, like I go, well, I want things to be better for my kids. Not to say that we had things bad, but I'm like, I want them to even have a better childhood than I did. And it's the same for wrestlers, right? Like, hey, if they don't have to struggle as bad as I did, great.
Right.
But there's also a party that goes, but you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. Your tie gotta go flat once or twice.
Right, Ain't that the truth, though?
Yeah. And that's what I try, like, I have my girls over here off screen. Mm-hmm. Like, their mom must have been like, oh, let me help. Like, no. Let her fall.
Right. It's important.
She needs to
learn how to get back up.
It's like a baby deer. You can't always help it up. No, it needs to get its strength to learn how to walk on its own.
Right.
And like, I feel like not necessarily like in the position as a parent, we're in the position to like not baby or you know neuter our children with like the fact of not being fortunate. They don't have to work. They don't have to work as hard. Mm-hmm. But I just want to give them choice.
Yes.
And not be stuck with the, like, you have no choice. Right. You have to do this or you don't survive. You don't eat. You don't this. No, I'm like, okay, no. I want them to have at least a choice in the matter. Sure. Do you want to struggle? Do you want to go the struggle route? If you don't, we always have this.
Yes.
And you always have your safety blanket to fall out on.
Yep.
But at least go out and do it on your own. As a parent, like I do want to see them like struggle a little bit, but I still want to have the security to be like, you're good though,
right?
Like, if anything happens, I got you.
I'm here. Just pick up the phone and I will be there. Right. So you're never gonna have to like starve or like be sleep in an alley.
And that advice is good for the young wrestlers too. We do give that type of stuff to the younger guys.
Whenever I'm talking to a wrestler like about a match, like because a wrestler will approach me and say, hey, can you please watch a match? So of course. And I'll watch them go, any notes, anything. And I always like to start with, listen, like whatever I say, this isn't necessarily true.
Right.
It worked for me. Wrestling is this weird art form where sometimes if I tell you what to do, you might go out there and it might not work. So I'm never going to say, this is the way you do it. It's like, again, you have a choice.
Yeah.
Here's a choice. Mm-hmm. This is what worked for me and my brother and helped me become successful in wrestling. It might fail for you, but hey, here it is. And I give it to him. I lay it out like that because so many people came up to me and said, you're doing it wrong. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
And that's not how you teach
it. I resented that, man.
That was another thing I was about to get into.
Right.
Keep going, though. You want to roll.
So I'll never listen to anybody who says, this is the way to do this thing. I'm like, no. This ain't basketball, right? Where I have to put the ball through a hoop. And that's the goal, right?
If you're averaging 30, you're doing something right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like this is.
I don't know. I don't think he's got it.
I think he does because it's facts with his numbers.
And it baffles me because it's like the entertainment business as me being a musician and understanding what you guys are saying as an entertainer.
Yes.
It's like one, I always tell these guys when they come to me for advice, a lot of times the fans choose. Like, yes. You can go out there and do 50 million things. We always have this conversation. You're like, look, every bro, time. You can make the greatest song, you can have the, you know, maybe have the greatest, but the fans choose who they like and don't like, right. A lot of times, you know? Yep. And it's the same thing where you said about struggling and growing. Is like, I've grown to understand what my granddad recipes, what he told me. He's like, even though you're comfortable, sometimes you have to be, and one thing I learned about the entertainment business, you're always in like flight or fight situations a lot. So a lot of times you're on your toes, like it's like survival. Yes. And it's that same thing with like the set about the flat tire. Like it's almost good to be in that state once in a blue moon for certain things. Mm-hmm. But sure. Like you said about the choice, like all the time you don't want to be there. But sometimes you're in a situation where you're like almost in instinct mode.
Yes.
Dealing with the business or being an entertainer in general. So I think you guys have been great at that because one thing I want to give you guys your flowers on, which I always say he's great at too. You guys know how to keep momentum. And that's very, very tough in the entertainment business to be able to keep momentum because things die down.
That's right.
People get tired of you. But for you guys to be in the realm that you guys are and to never lose momentum after all this time is a big salute to you guys for what you guys have done for the business because
thank you, man.
It's very, very tough. As you see, everything's instant gratification.
Yeah.
It's here today, gone tomorrow. Quit.
Right.
Especially Instagram. Nowadays, right? You just hit the refresh button and say, what's the next thing?
Absolutely. So how have you guys been able to keep this momentum? You know, how have you guys been able to keep this? This is this is very rare. How have you guys been able to do this? You know, staying on top, being able to
that's a innovate, tough one.
You know,
it is how do you stay relevant in a business like this that's ever moving? And
oh my God, does it move so fast? We did Blood and Guts 2 weeks ago, and no one talks about it. It's like it loses momentum within
24 hours.
It's everything hard does that. You have Wembley like right there, right, too. You have Wembley like looming right there.
The fans are always after Wembley.
They'll be like, "What's the next thing?"
Right. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Can we be happy? Can we sit on this?
Can we
for a little bit?
Can we live in this moment, please?
Please,
you know what I mean.
Can we finish the cake? Yeah.
Yes.
I think that problem. The problem with that though is it's just how the culture is these days, right? Because there's just too much
society.
Content.
It's the same with music too.
We look at the music industry. It's content overload, huh? It's just too much good stuff too. Everything is great.
Everything's streaming. Everything's current. Everything's now.
Yeah.
Everything it is now, and then like I feel like we. Kind of compare wrestling to hip hop music because hip hop is it's the number one trended music.
Yeah.
So it's like it moves quick.
Yes.
It's here today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
Like Ice Spice was the hottest thing in the world like 2-3 weeks ago. Now we're on Sexy Red. Next thing, now we're on the Double XL. Who's going to be the hot one off of that? Then we're going to be moving on to like, who is this?
Right. It's hard,
like,
man.
I'm like, these people are like having 3-4 million followers or streaming on Spotify and iTunes. They don't have an album. I'm like, where did this come from?
Yep. I think it's too easy. Like we said, back in the days, we had to go earn the CDs and the music.
Sure.
Yeah. We had to go to the stores. Hey, Metallica had a new album out. Oh, okay, we're waiting.
You were going to get in the line.
Get in the line.
At this date.
I think to answer your question, it's like we did it for so long. It was a grind. It was every day we had to live in it. And whether that meant living on social media, what's the next thing? What's my take about this? What's this? What's going on in wrestling? Who's hot? Who's not? And I personally burnt myself out. I did it for too long.
Mm.
I lived in it. I lived in it every day. All right, what's our opinion on this? How could I say something on Twitter about that? Blah, 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 blah. And it was like, it got to the point of too much. Like just recently, a couple years ago, I said enough. I can't do it. Like let the younger guys have it. I have a family now. I need to come home and not bring this home with me. I need to be at home because I reached a point where I was resenting things and it wasn't good how I was feeling. Right.
You don't want to look at.
Exactly. You don't want to bring work home with you.
Right? Yep.
We were just living it. But that's probably why we were topical because we had a response to everything. We had a t-shirt for everything. We had,
an idea for everything. Twitter. I'm like, what are they saying?
Yeah. What do the young bucks think about this?
What do they think about this? What's happening?
We're
wearing those shoes. That means something
right.
subliminal.
Right.
We kind of led the charge on that whole culture to the point now where like, I can't stand it. Or I almost go like, just get a life.
Watching Frankenstein's
get offline.
Monsters.
Yeah. I want to tell the younger wrestlers, get offline, man. It's too much. Like, nobody wants to hear everything.
Yeah,
just shut up.
I haven't been on Twitter in almost 3 years, and my mental health is so much better.
Yeah.
So much better.
Yeah.
I used to just look at every comment and go, why does this guy hate me? Why does he think I suck? And then at the point where I was like, why do I care a stranger thinks of my wrestling style?
See,
I don't care.
I'm not there yet. I'm still petty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get there, Petty. I will hop on and talk about your mom quick.
I love it. One day you're going to burn out, I'm telling you.
I'm very picky and choosy. Yeah, I don't get everybody. No, y'all are special. You got to be the special ones to get my mom insults.
You know what's funny? I reached that point for sure.
I don't read a thing. I don't read a thing anymore. I can't. It's too damaging to your mental health.
That's what I found out.
And I just live in peace now. I live away from it. I live in a whole different world where now I don't know what's going on. Maybe that's in time. Maybe it's bad. But
your question, maybe that's what helps us reinvent ourselves is not looking at people's opinions.
Not watching a whole lot of wrestling, too.
Because that's what we've been doing the last couple years now.
You're not looking back. You're constantly forward now. Because it happened already.
I feel like the response, what happened. That
stifles
bad,
man.
Yeah, I feel bad for some of the wrestlers. They'll have their match and instantly go through the goat position, get on their phone, and they're checking comments. Uh-huh. I'm like, didn't you not just hear 10,000 people? Was that not enough? They were cheering your name.
That was real. Yeah. This isn't real.
The thousand that are tweeting about you, they hate you no matter what. So don't.
You're never gonna. You know what I learned? You're never, ever gonna change their minds.
No,
there's nothing you can do.
No.
And once you figure that out, it's you're good.
I got that from watching Eminem interviews. Remember that he was like, there was like he did like 3 interviews in 3 years, and I was like, I'm on him. There was like must see, and he's just like. Like, he's just sitting there, his energy's low, hoodie's on still, and he's just like, man, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, whenever I do this, if I zig, I should have zagged. If I do this, there's always going to be some stupid idiot on the internet that's talking about me. I'm like, dude, you made Stan, like, one of the greatest hip-hop songs.
Right.
You were, like, you went diamond, and he's still, at, like, this age, still having to battle people online that's critiquing crazy. His music.
Wild. That just shows you we all go through it.
Like if you stay on it, it travels with you no matter how high you reach.
Yeah. What's that crazy. Great? I read this quote the other day, or I might have watched a documentary, and he said something about, if I walked on water, my critics would say, it's because he can't swim.
Yep.
That's a fact.
Right?
It's a fact.
That's crazy.
So like, you just have to think of that. Like, some people were just cast in a certain role, right? And I think Nick and I were casted for a lot of people as the villains, and they're going to always think we're the villains no matter what we do or say. There's no change in their minds.
It's because you did it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And everybody who looks at anybody that did anything differently is vilified in that role.
Isn't that weird?
But then Rodman glorified once they die, though, right?
That's true. He was just so different. He did stuff differently. He wanted to leave the playoffs and go to Vegas and hang out with Carmen Electra and then go on WCW and then be back in game 5 of the playoffs with Jordan.
And win.
And win. And now he's like, oh, I had 2 points. I don't care. We won.
Right.
Like, that's still a great teammate.
Sure.
Like, he's still a great teammate to the core, but people don't value that they place the distraction on all the other excess stuff because they vilified him in a certain way because he did stuff differently the people that do stuff differently and are innovative and I honestly the haters grow because you didn't do what they said and you still succeeded.
Yeah, I could see
and
that.
They love moving the goalposts too.
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah, no matter what you do, it just keeps getting further pushed back.
Yeah.
And like Nick said,
it's never enough.
There were years where it was like, when are we going to prove to them? When? And finally, I don't know when it was where we both just said, oh, there is no winning.
There is no winning.
Right. When you learn that, you're like at peace almost. You're all this, okay, cool. You know, and like we touched on this earlier, like we just signed these contracts and like, you know, at the end of the deal, if I don't want to work anymore, I don't have to do that anymore. Nick the same. So isn't that enough to know that? Like, hey, people say I'm not good at this, but I'll have enough so I can never work again. And I'm in my 30s. Maybe I'm pretty decent at this.
Maybe I kind of have an idea.
Yes, right. Like that should be enough for all of us.
Not only that, I don't think this is praised enough. I don't think this is touched on enough, and I really don't think this is really brought up enough. You created jobs for 100 new talents on a roster.
Right.
You gave them jobs. You gave them careers. Even if it's like no matter what tier, how much figures so-and-so's making to so-and-so, you gave them an opportunity to get on national TV, which back in our day, like 2008, like even before that, 2003, there was only one place to get on television.
Right.
There was only actually two places to get on national
television. It's everything that all of us wrestlers fantasized about.
We didn't think it was possible.
Right. Yep.
We didn't think it was possible.
And, and that's crazy because it really, I'm really sitting there thinking, it just dawned on me, like, with these guys' visions, I just have to say this. Thank you, guys, because I made Sammy Guevara's record. And now I have money because these guys,
helped change my life.
You know what I mean?
You can't just give credit to us. Like, it was a team of people.
But even playing a part of a role, picking up the phone.
That's a major, man. Discussion. Yeah. It's major, man.
It was a lot of luck and happenstance and God, I don't know. Like, we were at the right place at the right time. You know what I mean? Like,
very much
the business was at a point where there needed to be some collective change.
Yeah.
The fans were begging for something, and we were just kind of, again, we were chosen as those guys. That was our role for at that time. We were the change, and it just worked out. We didn't know what we were doing. We were just having fun, and we had a mm-hmm. group of friends we were talking about earlier, a group of friends, like-minded individuals, kind of disruptors, guys who didn't think of wrestling the same way we thought of it. I don't even know.
We just needed to think different. Not necessarily bigger.
Just different.
Just like, yeah. It just needed to be different. Yeah. That's all it needed to be.
Our friend, like, you know, it was us. It was Cody. It was Kenny. It was Hangman. And then we met this Tony Khan guy and who also believed in what we were doing because he was a fan of ours. We looked back and it was funny. He showed me the other day. Was it you? You had like an Elite shirt on from like 7 years ago. Tony Khan in one of his Instagram photos. Like he's a first day Elite fan.
Yeah.
That's what he's the biggest fan in the world. And we met him and it's just. It was luck, man. It was serendipitous, and it all worked out.
At the end of the day, isn't that what someone you want to work for? Someone who is a fan of the product that you are busting your ass for?
Yep.
Isn't it, you want to work for someone who loves this, not who hates it. And despises it. I'm like, oh, if I could be anywhere else, I would be. Or do something else with my money. I'm like, no, it's a choice. He had a choice.
Like you said, too, it's changed so many people's lives.
So many people.
That right there is so cool. Yes. That's the coolest thing for, like, I don't care about anything with wrestling legacy.
That's bigger than money.
It was helping get hundreds of people. And production workers, cameramen, so many people jobs off of wrestling.
Like,
off of pro wrestling, we could have
any great matches. People go, like, I love this match.
I don't care about any of that.
Yeah. I don't care. This, like you just said,
this
changing
providing
people's
for families.
Lives.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
If that's our legacy, that's what I care about.
That's what
a lot of people are like, I want my legacy to be the greatest this and greatest that. It's like, no. If you look back at us, you go, hey, those guys changed a lot of people's lives. I'll take it.
And that's the thing. I think that's probably going to the point of why you guys are probably got to the point where you guys are at peace and you guys didn't worry about social media because, you know, deep down in your guys' spirit, you know what? We did something that impacted the business and it helped change people's lives. So whatever these guys are saying on social media,
we're good.
I can sleep
at night.
That's
so true, man.
Right.
That's the bigger picture.
That's the bigger picture. You guys got it.
Oh, my spot sucked?
Right.
Oh, who cares?
You don't like my wrestling style? Oh, man.
I'm like, yo, what if we mess this up? I'm like,
right.
You have to be like that. If you live off of every match, dude, you're never going to be happy. Or you'll be happy for a week.
No.
Because then the next week you'll have a match that you didn't really like and you'll go, you can't live like that.
Top the last one and it didn't top that one. I'm like,
there's some moments though, I'll be honest, like even like the last, I want to say it was Blood and Guts. We had to take the match home quick.
Yeah.
And I look at Matt and Hangman.
He's living.
I'm like, dang it, that wasn't the best match. I wanted this to be the best match. And Matt's like, are we all healthy? I'm like, yeah.
Can we walk?
Yeah. Can we walk? Yeah. I was like, oh, you're right.
I go, then who cares? And I go, I'm going to Hawaii. Because I knew I was planning like a trip.
Here, you deal with it.
But even
you have that. I'm good.
But even I get lost sometimes in the moment.
You forget.
Like, man, I wanted to go this way, but whatever, I'm healthy.
I even said, did you try your best? I remember I said that to you. You're like, I said, I did too.
And that was in the ring. It's not backstage. We're literally, the bell rang, we're raising our hands. And I'm like, dang it.
And then he's funny because like later that night, he and I, we were eating Wendy's upstairs, just the two of us, watching the match back. And we were like popping for everything. And at the end of the hour, we're like, that was freaking great.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like,
what was I mad about?
You're just in the moment, bro.
Right.
I wish I got to watch the full thing, but I had a 2-ring battle royal to.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, right after.
You had to prepare for that thing.
I had to be from the beginning to the end. So I will watch this back. But right now,
eventually.
I got to understand and be with. Yeah, I got to direct traffic a little bit.
Oh, I bet.
So. Big NBA guys, big basketball guys.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing these big contracts. Do you think ever make its way into wrestling?
Well,
we just signed one today, right?
Re-signed with All Elite Wrestling. Do you think
we're not quite on that level?
You say that, but we when we signed it, we're like, this is like an NBA level contract. That's pretty crazy.
But one that just came out.
We're not talking.
I'm like, are we Jalen Brown?
No, I wish. I wish.
But Shai Gilgeous coming
Hey, but
up?
Who knows? Maybe
Who's
one
say,
day.
Man?
Maybe,
if someone would have told me,
you know, I'll
10
say
years
this.
Ago,
Scott Hall, I remember he tweeted me. This was when I would answer all these fans about criticism. They were, I don't know what it was, but I was immature and I said something about how, hey, screw you, I make six figures. And Scott Hall goes, bro, think about making seven figures. And I go, no chance in hell is
that
possible.
We thought that was an impossibility.
Yeah. And that was only a few years ago. So things have changed so quick.
And it's crazy to think, like, that's what makes those guys so special. They thought,
right.
They seen it before you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
He sure was right, man. It's crazy to think.
They see it before you do. So sometimes it's like, all right, like, you get a little... take a lot of bullets,
sure,
but there's a filter somewhere. There's some love and care somewhere in it.
Oh yeah,
that's like, oh, he wasn't 100% wrong. It just hurt.
Yeah.
But he wasn't 100%
right.
wrong.
So I could see the economy in wrestling even getting healthier. And with AEW, that's what happened, right? Like all of a sudden, everybody's making big money. Yep. Everybody in wrestling.
Yeah.
And who's to say, like. I could see in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Money like, going. Maybe not even, as high as those players, obviously, but I could see some.
But even the competition is like
right.
big business right now.
Right.
Big business right now. Yeah. I'm like, okay, if
it keeps growing.
We keep doing this.
Yeah. Like, TV rights money's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So I could see things changing.
Yeah. And you know what? It's weird. WWE being hot helps us because wrestling in general is hot right now.
Well, then the threat of guys from our company going there, it helps. The wrestler's business, right?
It's like a damn little situation.
Right, yeah. And that's interesting. Like, I want to see stuff like that because it's interesting. It's real life. Like, who knows who will jump ship and whatnot. Like, it just...
And we didn't know. Like, we talked about how we just signed these contracts.
Right.
Like, it's funny because a lot of fans, I'm sure, I don't read any of it, but I'm sure they're thinking, oh, how unsurprising, the Elite re-signed. Bro, we didn't even know if we were going to resign. So, you know what I mean? Like, we had no idea. And there'd be times where, because we knew, not just the two of us, Hangman and Kenny, the four of us, we negotiated together as a team.
Oh, okay.
Right? In which I don't know if it's ever really been done.
Yeah, we were going to stick together. Like,
I know, actually, you know what?
Another thing.
To be fair, Malenko and Benoit and Eddie probably had a similar thing when they all jumped, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
So like, even if it's the second time it's happened, it was pretty historic.
Well, look how far apart that is, though.
That's right.
It's still really far.
Right. And it's crazy because all four of us, we all agree, we're sticking together. Whatever we do.
And the votes did not line up every time.
Oh, yeah.
Because we said majority wins on this.
Right.
And there was a lot of emotions in the last year, as the world knows. So one day, this person's voting to leave, this person's voting to go. We weren't even on the same page the whole time.
Yeah,
so,
Matt and I.
Yeah. So it was crazy because...
Well, I'll say this.
Go ahead.
There was many times where Matt just said, you know what, I have enough. I'm ready to just retire.
I talked about that.
And I had to talk
him out of
that.
Especially with your health as well.
I talked him out of retiring.
Yep. I've been toying with that for a long time. And he's like, he even told me, he's like, let's just do at least one more big one. And
I think it's fun to fantasize about retirement. So I get it. He's almost in his 40s now, you know?
Yeah, I'm 30.
It's
30,
fun to fantasize about until you're in it. Now you're like...
Right.
Wait a minute.
That's what I told him.
I'm sitting in the bed I made. I'm like, what the heck?
I told him he's not
so comfortable.
It's silent, nothing going on.
You're right.
He's like, I ain't got to go to work tonight.
Right. Yeah. Do you want that?
You know what, Tony? Let me get that.
And it's a long-term deal, though. So
thank God.
The fans will be able to see us for a long time.
Yeah. A few more years, at least.
Well, yeah. Sure.
But
signed it.
So what would be next? Would it be like you guys be like executives? What would be next after you guys say, okay, we're done.
Right.
7 years now, we're done.
Man, that's
like
it's such a hard question to answer.
I know, man. I know. You're trying not to think that far, but it's realistic. You know, it's realistic to think about.
Like how much do you punch that EVP button?
I think I think once I'm done in ring, I'll never announce it. I'll never be like, oh, I'm retired. I'm just gonna like walk away, like, and people are gonna be like, whatever happened to that guy?
And then I can see it being
the best way to go, bro.
Yeah,
in my opinion, that's the best way to go.
For him, it's easier. He just went to Hawaii, and I didn't hear from him for 10 days.
I turned my phone off.
I'm
good at just going off the radar.
Yeah, and for me, I like to. I don't know. I'm different. I like to stay like entertained and busy. You know what I mean? Like yeah, right. For me, I don't know. It'd be hard. So I don't know what I fantasize about running a small little indie one day.
Yeah,
that how fun would that be? You know what
like
I mean?
Another PWG like, style.
I don't know.
Thing.
Buy PWG from what Super if Dragon. The, yeah. Oh, you know what's funny man. Is I tried to buy PWG once.
Really?
And he didn't go for the offer.
Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't.
Well, maybe one day them. Super Dragon. Yeah.
Maybe yeah, yeah. Lowballed him. I'm like, well, yeah, we're getting him back for all those years. 10 guys in a hotel room.
He did lowball us. So I got him back, but he said no right away.
You know, it was funny, as I actually heard from him recently. It was not recent. It was like 6 or 7 months ago now when we did the forum show.
Yeah, yeah.
We had that ladder match. Yeah. And that night, he sends me a text message. He goes, yo, great match. I go, you watch it? He goes, I was there. Yeah. I go, he was excuse me? He was in the crowd. He's all, it's crazy that you're still tearing the house down after all these years. I said, dude, you have no idea how much that means because I looked up to Super Dragon. Like he was like this weird, like immortal wrestling god.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we all, especially in SoCal. Those
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss those guys, those immortal guys.
And yeah.
We have a couple, but like.
He had a mistake.
There's not many around anymore.
Yeah. No, especially on the independents. Yeah. No.
You know what it is to a lot of that social media? Because we're all too accessible now.
Yeah.
And there is no mystique. Yes, that's why we're trying to create that like that mystique again and not be so accessible. And it sucks because we don't interact with fans anymore. And I do kind of miss that because there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
But I'm just, I don't want to be available anymore. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. You can't speak to
me. We don't
anymore.
Even do interviews much anymore.
This is why I'm like, one of our only ones.
I really appreciate it. Amen.
Thank you, no, bro.
You know, coming out of the cave. Thank you. Like Bruce Wayne coming from Wayne Manor. Like,
I love
this
it.
This is that. Like,
you had to come all the way to the Hard Rock here in town. And he's not gambling downstairs. This is insane.
Yeah, you got me away from the slots. That means this is important.
Better than being 137 degrees outside like it is right now.
Hey, we got a nice little bungalow outside. We can do the same. I would not dare. So you're hearing the SAG AFTRA strikes going on.
Right,
yeah. Like,
I feel bad for those
guys. What do you think's going to lead this to? It's interesting, you know?
I saw somebody report, like, I don't know her name or nothing like that, but she was saying, like, she's expecting to see this for another 6 months. To get any type of, like, push forward. Like,
right. I have to tell you, brothers, I have to break some news. I'm hearing the same thing about to happen to music.
Music, too.
It's about to happen.
Snoop Dogg was just talking about this.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, there's going to be where... There's going to be a cutoff point when music's released, and then until they figure it out, there's going to be no new music.
Wow.
That's going to be, unless they do it independently, like back in the days out there, probably, if they want to do
That's probably what'll happen, honestly.
Yeah, they're not going to release music on platforms until they raise what people are getting paid, because we see it and we ain't getting nothing.
Wow.
You know? So, you know.
I do music because it's fun and I like
me too.
My homie.
Right. I enjoy it at this point, and I make a little something from it to pay my bills, but it's the same thing with the movies. It's the same thing's about to happen.
Because now you're hearing actors come out like who did those Disney Channel shows. Remember like the Prime Disney, like the Lizzie McGuire's and all that. Even Stevens, they made no residuals after those shows.
Wow.
That's aired. They made nothing as kids. You know, so they got paid for the episode and that was it.
Like, wow.
Yeah. So
I hope they can figure something out, man.
A lot of guys struggled after that, and then like Snoop Dogg was talking about, like, it doesn't make sense to have a billion streams and make $100,000.
Right.
That doesn't add up. Yeah, at all.
Not at all.
True.
You know,
so crazy. To the untrained eye, you'd be like, oh, that's 5 million streams, and you realize it's like $2,000. You're like, what?
Right.
Yeah.
This doesn't add up.
I could see it being 6 months, then. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't know the details.
A lot of the critics going after, like, the more high-profile actors who are taking a stand against it. It's like, oh, the rich just need more money. It's like, no. They're speaking on behalf of the
guys
people who are on the lower tier who don't make the money. Right.
Yeah.
Like it's like, and good for them for being on their side and
like we need those guys to speak up.
Right. That's how this works, right? And you know, and it's sad that wrestling hasn't figured that out yet and we don't have the union thing. You know what I mean? And will we ever have it? I don't know. Like it's like almost like your question earlier. You think the wrestle would be more like the NBA and have contracts like that? Maybe not until the day a union's finally created. I don't know. You know, who knows? Who knows?
But with you guys being in that like you said, negotiating together and you guys sticking as a team.
That's right.
That could be the start with you guys setting that foundation. You know, everybody's got their own individual, you know, they're mercenaries under the day.
That's how the legacy continues for you guys. Like absolutely. Y'all did it in 2010, like started this whole generation of like YouTube and like the gifts and all that stuff with the merchandise. Maybe in 2020, that's the legacy you continue for the next decade of being in the higher position,
sure,
the office now changing things up, yeah, for like how wrestling can be run and an alternative.
That's so, right. Yeah,
like it's I see it happening all over again for you guys again.
That'd be great, you know.
You know,
you know. And one thing I was thinking of is during the pandemic when a lot of these people couldn't create shows and original content.
Oh yeah,
AEW really thrived.
Yeah,
because right, you know, we were one of the major, only things still going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, the one thing, at least you were just talking about the whole SAG strike, and if it goes another 6 months, like maybe at least we'll benefit from that a little bit, and they'll watch our show. We'll have original content every week because that's what we do, right? Oh, wrestling just keeps moving.
Yeah.
Wrestling
sense,
just keeps moving, no matter what. A pandemic couldn't stop AEW. You know what I mean? So at least maybe we can get a little more eyeballs
running.
Right. That's the only. I'm trying to think of anything positive that could come out.
Dude,
of
the WWE of this. Writers, are they all on strike too?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
No, they're not, they don't qualify under the SAG.
Right, oh, okay. That makes sense. Gotcha. Nope.
And AEW doesn't have writers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's
a crazy situation going on.
It's wild if you think about it. Like, what constitutes like a SAG? Like, does a writer for a comedy show, does he qualify under SAG?
Right.
Does, you know, does like, there's a lot of like little minute details.
Right.
That are missing or falling, just slipping through the cracks on that kind
of
stuff.
We got a lot of friends in the business too. I hope they can figure it out, man. Yeah, nothing but the best.
Major, man. So I'm going to let you guys go because we got the 200th episode. Who would have ever thought?
Here we are.
200, I knew it was coming, but would y'all ever thought y'all had seen 200 episodes of AEW Dynamite this quickly? Like, boom, we're here now.
Crazy.
I felt like we were just in DC doing episode one.
Yeah. You
know, and then 100. Now it's crazy.
Yeah.
And 200 means, all right, it's a successful show. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like you said, day one to now we have three shows on TV. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, this crazy. Is a celebration tonight.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yep.
You know, go kill it, you know, with Kenny tonight and the six-man tag.
We're excited, man.
It's going to be awesome.
This has been fun.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We like absolutely. To have fun here. We like to, you know.
Absolutely. We're just having fun, man.
Yeah.
Conversating as peers, man.
Yeah.
That's right.
Y'all definitely got to tune in. By the time y'all see this, y'all would have seen the nasty film that I created for tonight's episode.
Uh-oh.
So I'm excited. Tune in. All right. So definitely comment below when you do see it.
I won't read it.
Oblivious.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Shout out to Montezy on being on, having five songs credited to his name on the AEW Fight Forever game.
Oh, nice. Man. Thank you,
crazy.
Guys.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
For being meeting with Ice Cube at the Big Three.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Thank
big
you.
Stuff coming up. Coming up huge. He always does this. This is usually his part of the show where he does the crediting. I'm going to do it for him because he deserves this. Like, went to Miami with Coach
Michael Cooper
from the Showtime Lakers.
Oh, nice.
Wow. With my man. That's he did awesome. The podcast a while ago.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Michael Cooper, big friend of the Source City podcast. Got him in the Big Three. Had him meet O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Nice.
Meet Ice Cube with the execs. Cool. Big moves being made, man. I got on this month's edition of XXL with the freshmen. I had a nice
amen,
little page
brother.
On there.
Let's go, brother.
This is one of the wildest
awesome.
XXL ciphers to be a part of, but I'm glad to be a part of it.
Oh, boy.
Too rare. You dance like a fool, and I love it. Keep doing it. Don't stop. It's fun. And shout out to Finesse two times on there. That boy is fire out of New Orleans. 31-year-old freshman. You know, usually you get the younger guys. He's one of the older guys in the group, but I love to see the older guys.
Yeah.
You know, I love to see the older guys. And he's fire, man. He's one of my favorite guys on there. So, you know, shout out Glorilla on there. Shout out Lola Brooke, New Yorker, up on there. So,
yeah, she's
shout
fire.
Out, yeah, she's fire. Shout out XXL. Thank you guys for everything y'all doing, man. And this has been a wonderful episode. This historic AEW Dynamite 200 episodes. We getting it tonight. Be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
And do your homework.
Definitely do that.
Please.
It's hot out. It's hot.
It's hot.